The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you get confused when you read verses where Jesus tells us that anything we ask for in faith, we will receive, so long as we ask in faith. Why then do so many Christians pray to God in faith only to see their prayers unanswered? Well, my friend, that is one of but many Bible questions we will explore later on in today's show. Welcome to our program, the theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. It's good to be back with you. Last week, while the station ran my annual Easter rebroadcast, Dana and I were at Disneyland. In fact, we had been there all week. We love Disneyland. We've done entire radio programs about Disneyland. After taking a year off, we renewed our annual passes, and boy, did we pick the right time to return. Never had we seen such a thin crowd. I kid you not, most days we never waited in line more than 5 minutes to get on a ride at Disneyland. 5 minutes. Only the parting of the Red Sea was a greater miracle. Now, I do have a theory as to why the park was like that. In just one more month, they open up the much anticipated Star Wars Land, also known as Galaxy's Edge. Probably people are thinking about Disneyland who want to make a trip in the near future, and they're thinking, well, why blow a bunch of money right now and just barely miss Star Wars by a hair? I'll wait till after Star Wars opens. Well, that worked for me. This ended up being a perfect time to come. Now, Dana and I each have our favorite rides. One of her favorites is Small World. The ride is not without its charm. For myself, I love the outside of Small World with its amazing clockwork, actually more than the ride itself. And during Christmas time, the lights are amazing on that clockwork. I could just sit outside the attraction and stare at these beautiful lights for hours. Unfortunately, I am not nearly as enamored with the ride itself, and the ride does go on for more than 15 minutes. I'd be a little happier if this ride was shorter. I can think of many other rides that I would prefer to last 15 minutes. Anyway, we're riding Small World because my wife loves the ride and I love my wife. And you don't have to worry about whether or not you'll forget that little jingle that the animated dolls sing. It'll stick with you the rest of the day. Actually, it'll stick with you the rest of your life. While riding, I created my own little jingle. It's a long ride after all. It's a long ride after all. Of course, we also visited Disney's California Adventure, and I found myself wondering how long it will be before the name is changed to Disney's Sanctuary State Adventure. Of course, some politically correct changes Disney has already made. Slowly but surely, the Pirates of the Caribbean, once one of my favorite rides, is being watered down and changed to the point of absurdity. It began a number of years ago when Disneyland received complaints about the pirates chasing women. Okay, look, in the real world, that is a nightmare for women, but this isn't the real world. It's a ride designed to depict the danger of pirates alongside the assurance that you're only on a ride and it's not really happening. And this is not only just any ride, it's the last ride Walt Disney himself personally designed before dying. One would think we'd have more respect for the founder of the Magic Kingdom. Real pirates did chase women, just as real animals have attacked and killed people on jungle safaris. But nobody worries about that while riding Disneyland's Jungle Cruise. Although I have no doubt that PETA may someday complain about that because animals are being viewed as violent on the ride. After all, they got animal cages removed from the boxes of animal crackers. By the way, the evil, violent empire on Star Tours is also fiction. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, real evil exists. I spend a great deal of time on this radio show calling it out, but these are just rides, for crying out loud. Now back to pirates. Now the only women being chased are holding trays of food, showing that the pirates are clearly going after the food, not the women holding the food. Yeah, there we go. That fixed it. Brilliant. And now it's been fixed even more. The auction of women as brides has also been changed. Now the women are holding merchandise such as clocks or rum to be auctioned. We even have a feisty female pirate auctioning stuff off. Right. Way to go. Everybody knows how many female pirates they had in those days. So much for a ride having an aura of authenticity on top of the consolation that it's only a ride and nothing to really worry about. What's next? Will they get rid of the sword fighting? Will they get rid of the cannonballs, the fire? Maybe it'll become a band of peaceful pirates traveling the world to promote brotherhood. Meanwhile, a much more fun event than Disneyland has made the news because this event is about the news. The White House Correspondents' Dinner. What a party. What a hoot. I just can't imagine why the president decided once again not to attend. It certainly bothered the folks at CNN. CNN's Brian Stelter says Trump skipping the White House Correspondents' Dinner is an attack against the media. In other words, Trump's refusal to come and be attacked is itself an attack. This is just like another leftist talking point. While defending the violent demonstrations on college campuses, we learned that such violence is excusable because they were protesting right-wing conservatives. Indeed, those who condemn the violence, they're the real violent ones. Yep, they just keep making this stuff up as they go, and every Democratic candidate anxious to climb on board accepts the latest litmus test from Never Never Land. Tests such as signing on for reparations. Now, Larry Elder, an African-American radio talk show host, he said it best. Reparations, payment by people who never owned slaves to people who never were slaves. Well, have no fear. Reparations is only one issue. There's all kinds of other intelligent stuff coming our way. Bernie Sanders, well, saying that prisoners should have the right to vote, Bernie Sanders claimed this should even apply to terrorists such as the Boston Marathon bombers. No real surprises here. Democrats, despite their supposed concern about countries outside of the United States interfering with our elections, have been pushing for illegals to vote for years. Not only that, but every election cycle, countless dead people miraculously resurrect and vote as well. What's next? Will they insist that animals have a right to vote? Why not cartoon characters? Maybe Bart Simpson or Donald Duck should be allowed to vote. I'll go you one better. I personally would vote for Donald Duck before voting for Bernie Sanders. Yeah, you just gotta love good old Bernie. The rich need to pay their fair share. Sanders, a couple of weeks ago, he was interviewed by Fox News. Now, first of all, kudos to Fox for at least asking real questions. For once, we heard things other than, are you comfortable, Senator Sanders? Can we refill your drink? Or tell us, Senator, what you really think of Donald Trump. Now, would you compare him more to Hitler or to Mussolini or maybe Nero? Instead, they pointed out that Bernie, too, is a millionaire. When Bernie explained that this was only because of his royalties from his best-selling book, they nevertheless mentioned that under our tax law, he's allowed to pay as much as he wants. Why then, if the Trump taxes were giving too big of a break to the wealthy, did he not just personally pay more? Well, as politicians always do when they are cornered by real honest-to-goodness questions, Bernie quickly changed the subject, hoping nobody would notice that he was changing the subject, deflected toward Trump, and asked when his tax returns will be turned over so we can see what he paid. One question I wish Fox had asked. Mr. Sanders, whatever the president did or did not pay in taxes, he takes no salary as president. Have you done likewise as a senator? Would that not bring you as a rich man more personally toward the goal of paying your fair share? And that leads to today's meditation. Today's meditation from your old pal, Bob. Contemplating the whole rabbit's foot phenomenon. While this charm is supposed to make you lucky, I have to imagine it was not very good luck for the donating rabbit. Kind of like that free healthcare Bernie and his buds plan to give us absolutely free. I love the way he says it. College, free, healthcare, free. Yeah, absolutely free for those who don't work. But for anyone with a viable income, you will be paying taxes out of your nose. How much? Too much. And what kind of quality healthcare will we get? Well, given the way government manages money and policy, the worst you can possibly imagine. But at least we'll be mature enough to have the same kind of socialized healthcare that Europe has. You know, Europe, where any who are able come to the United States for medical treatment. Now, all is not lost. Not all the Democratic candidates are on the left. Some are centrists, like Joe Biden. At least that's the talking point. For myself, I find that a less than accurate description. What exactly makes Biden a centrist? I'm sure I don't know. He supports abortion. He supports wealth redistribution. While campaigning with Obama in 2008, he said, back in Scranton, we used to call that fairness. Fairness. The government taking from some and giving it to others. Fairness. Well, Joe, back where I come from, we used to call that stealing. In any event, Joe Biden decides to announce his candidacy with the tired drivel that Trump is a racist. He says he's doing this to restore dignity to the country. Trump is a racist, a narrative not believed, incidentally, by Trump's many African-American and Hispanic supporters. This from the man who once described Obama as being pretty smart and clean for a black man. This is back in 2007. This is an actual quotation from Joe Biden describing Barack Obama. I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African-American who was articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. We'll be right back.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Of course, to anybody in San Diego, they're aware of the big news this weekend from Poway. We're in mourning over a shooter in a synagogue. Now, there was a plainclothes border patrol person that happened to be there, so things could have been much worse. He stopped this guy. However, one person dead and three people wounded. That's still four too many, but we continue praying for the family. Before I went to the break, I mentioned that Joe Biden, after a long flirtation, has finally broken out with his campaign, and he says he wants to restore dignity to America. So the first thing he does is insults the half of the country that voted for Donald Trump and suggests they put a racist into the White House. And of course, Trump is not a racist. That's taken out of context all the time. He actually has a 50% approval rating amongst Hispanics, and that's an NPR poll. It's a very liberal organization. That's not Fox News. And I mentioned that for one who's talking about racist remarks, boy, oh boy, right before the break, let me read this to you again. This is Joe Biden talking about then-candidate Barack Obama, or he was considering becoming a candidate. He was an up-and-coming star out of the Democrats, a senator. He says, I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African-American who was articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. Now, to be fair, he did apologize for that comment back in 2007, but is he really in a position to be taking President Trump's comments out of context after a statement like that of his own? Good one, Joe. Better stick with your other gaffes, such as the time you were honoring a man confined to a wheelchair and you asked him to stand up so people could applaud, or the time you reminded us how President Roosevelt, after the stock market crashed, went on TV to talk about it, forgetting that the market crashed under Hoover. And nobody owned a television set under either president. Biden has a whole host of other gaffes, but to list them right now, I would be talking about Biden for the entire radio show. And why talk about Biden when I can talk about Hillary? She's back. The anticipation is over, and I know you've been waiting with bated breath. Hillary Clinton's take on the Mueller report. Hold on to your seats. Trump should be indicted, she says. Wow. Didn't see that one coming. Of course she wants him indicted. The longer he's in power, greater is the chance that her own criminality, covered up by the Obama Justice Department, will be handed a nice heaping helping of genuine justice. But who needs enemies like Hillary when Trump has friends like Republican Mitt Romney? Fellow conservatives, I keep hearing that even if the House impeaches President Trump, the GOP-held Senate will never convict, so supposedly, no worries. Need I remind you that the Senate, while technically held by the Republicans, is still filled with rhinos, political opportunists, and never Trumpers? Need I remind you that 10 of them voted to rebuke Trump's declaration of national emergency at the border? And of course, nobody better embodies the whole role of and being the standard bearer of the Republicans than Mitt Romney, whose own political reputation bears little resemblance to so-called honest conviction, which will even break ranks with his own party, and far more resemblance to a fame seeker who puts his finger to the wind. Good old Mitt has more flip-flops on his record than an Olympic gymnast. Romney Care was but one example. Here's his latest tweet. A statement that is sure to embolden the Democrats in the House, currently split on this issue, assessing whether or not they can get away politically with impeachment. Any olive branch from a Republican senator has got to be taken into consideration. Thus, they must love this special window offered by Republican Senator Mitt Romney. He says, it is good news that there was insufficient evidence to charge the President of the United States with having conspired with a foreign adversary or with having obstructed justice. The alternative would have taken us through a wrenching process with the potential for constitutional crisis. Even so, I'm sickened at the extent and pervasiveness of dishonesty and misdirection by individuals in the highest office of the land, including the president. I am also appalled that, among other things, fellow citizens working in a campaign for president welcomed help from Russia, including information that had been illegally obtained, that none of them acted to inform American law enforcement, and that the campaign chairman was actively promoting Russian interests in Ukraine. Okay, now, needless to say, many liberals in the mainstream media outlets omit the first part of this tweet, the part that Senator Romney calls good news, just as they ignore part A, no collusion, of the Mueller report, and move quickly to part B regarding possible but inconclusive evidence for obstruction of justice. Yes, Uncle Mitt has given them candy. Tell me, Mitt, and I say this as someone who sadly voted for you in 2012, although I had a good excuse. The alternative was Obama, and even you are better than Obama. But I'm going to ask you something, Mitt. Are you equally sickened by the following? That this investigation into Trump was launched by a phony dossier paid for by the DNC and the Hillary campaign? That the FBI, undoubtedly under orders from Attorney General Lynch, who met with Bill Clinton on a plane in the runway, wrote Hillary's exoneration prior to conducting the majority of the so-called investigation into her own compromising of our national security? That there was a plan B amongst some in the FBI higher-ups to frame Trump if the plan A, exoneration cover-up, didn't help elect Hillary? We even have the word for this on a text message. Insurance. That Hillary obstructed justice by erasing 33,000 emails subpoenaed by the FBI. That she also had her hard drive wiped clean with bleach bit. That she also had her BlackBerry smashed. That CIA Director Brennan pronounced Trump guilty on national television, claiming that there was evidence of conspiring with Russia and that Trump was even guilty of treason. That Representative Adam Schiff claimed the same thing about evidence. That neither of them have been able to produce this so-called evidence and are now contradicted even by a special counsel who seemed very motivated to find Trump guilty and would have done so if he possibly could. And that the same Schiff is caught on tape responding to one impersonating a Russian who has dirt on Trump, therefore doing the exact same thing that he was accusing Trump of doing. Do any of these things concern you, Mitt? Well, we'll find out when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three cereal box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Report, they did mention that Trump had considered shutting down the investigation and firing Mueller. It's something he had a right to do in the Justice Department. Mitt Romney had a serious problem with that. Talked about it being a very disgraceful thing to come from the White House. Well, I'm asking you, Mitt, are you having trouble understanding why a man falsely accused and deliberately framed might just get frustrated and broach his presidential rights to close the investigation down, even though at the end of the day, despite any alleged kickback from his staff, he still could have closed it down without them, but chose not to? Have you considered that under the law, Trump could have used executive privilege to redact any of these embarrassing revelations about the possible obstruction and still chose transparency? Or are you just so eager to keep yourself in the public spotlight that none of this matters? Is this for the purpose of a future third presidential bid? Or perhaps to simply make us forget the abysmal job you did in 2012. President Trump said it perfectly. If Mitt Romney spent the same energy fighting Barack Obama as he does fighting Donald Trump, he could have won the race. Maybe. These rhinos don't seem to care that by fighting Trump, they could end up giving victory to the left. Here's the position of the left. America is a racist, suppressing country full of hate and bigotry, one of the most evil countries in the world. However, we should have open borders so that the untold billions who wish to leave their own countries and live in America can just walk right in. And while we're on the subject of illegal immigration, our consistent man of conscience, Governor Newsom, says Trump's idea of busing illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities and sanctuary states is illegal. Oh, yes, Governor, you have such a track record for honoring what is legal. How do these guys talk with a straight face? On any issue, with any outlandish comment, they get a free pass. Of course, nobody lately has received more passes than Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Here's the latest from Omar. Don't they, Christians, know that Jesus was a Palestinian? Okay, now whether this displays ignorance or just a downright lie, nobody knows. Ignorance, I suspect. But the outrageous inaccuracy does fit well with our Congresswoman's other recent choice morsels of thought. Unfortunately, she did not invent this utter nonsense. The lie has been around a long time. It's even presented to Middle East vacationers by Palestinian tour guides. Let's be clear. While those of us who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior care more about his gospel and less about his race, I mean, he could have been a Swede for all I'd care, just so long as he paid for my sins. There are still important reasons for challenging comments like these. First, truth is important for truth's sake. Second, her comment feeds into the dangerous anti-Semitic narrative that the Jews have no historical claim to the land called Israel. In fact, Jesus was Jewish, as were his original followers. So many Jews were in the early church that when the first Gentiles wanted to join, the apostles argued amongst themselves as to whether or not those Gentiles first needed to become Jewish and obey the law of Moses. Not only is this attested to by Jewish history, but Roman history as well. During this era of Roman conquest, the Romans named the province Judea, the same word which Judah comes from, and Jew, short for the tribe of Judah. The ancient Roman historian Tacitus, while commenting on the execution of Jesus under Pontius Pilate, says the trial took place in Judea. You see, false comments, false statements are easily refuted by even the smallest amount of research. They could also be refuted by the simplest questions. Here's a conversation I'd like to see. This is what all the male Democrat presidential candidates are saying. I pledge to pick a female vice presidential running mate if I am elected. Oh, really? Well, if that's so important, why not just step aside now and endorse one of the female candidates for president? What's really important is Trump sucks. Trump sucks. Trump's a racist. But don't expect that kind of scrutiny from people on The View. Not when they're enamored by the likes of Joe Biden. Biden, while reflecting on the Obama-Biden administration, says he is proud. So proud that during their 8 years in office, there was not even one scandal. Not even one scandal. I guess he forgot about Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the IRS targeting conservative groups. He also failed to acknowledge that the Obama administration's so-called Justice Department exonerated Hillary despite her compromised national security and obstruction of justice, a real obstruction of justice. Oh, and the Obama administration was spying on the Trump campaign. Oh, no, sir. No scandals here. What a fine, fine administration they were. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Biden says the reason Obama hasn't endorsed him as president is because he personally asked Obama not to endorse him. Sure he did. Now I'll tell one. Well, if you'd like to weigh in on any of this, you can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel, SIEGEL.net. Regarding my comments about Disneyland and Small World, Paula says, yes, it is a long ride. And once upon a time, the ride broke down on us, so we retreated to about an hour's worth of that annoying song, Count Your Blessings. My daughter Elizabeth writes, it's the best ride of all time. Now that's what I like to see, solidarity between my daughter and my wife. Regarding my satiric question about California Adventure being changed to a Sanctuary State Adventure, Peggy says Disney has already compromised so much to favor the liberal agenda. Gary says, and the awesome roller coaster will change its name from California Screaming to California Streaming. Oh, actually, Gary, they already changed it to go with the Incredibles movie. It's now called the Incredicoaster. On the subject of changed rides, Tim writes, be sure to do Guardians of the Galaxy. It's even better than the old Tower of Terror. One of the best rides I've ever been on. I don't know what they did to the ride, but it seems scarier than I remember. Well, I have done that ride, and I did like it. Tell you a little more of my opinion of that ride when we return. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not in fact get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Some comments, some of them about what I said regarding Disneyland, and Tim had mentioned that the Tower of Terror had been changed to a Guardian of the Galaxy ride. Suggested I try it. I have. I do like the ride. I was sorry, however, to see them abandon the Twilight Zone theme. I loved the Guardian movies. Loved them. Not trying to slight Guardians at all. Just a huge Twilight fan. Tim, as for the ride's scariness being more scary, you may be right. They seemed about the same to me. Regarding what I said about Romney and the rhinos, Russ says, I am with you on this one, Bob. I also voted for Romney in 2012. Mr. Trump whipped Mitt, and he just can't seem to get over it. It is sad to see, but a person's real character tends to come through. He has turned on Sarah Palin as well. Mitt is just another petty, ambitious, and devious politician who claims to be something else but isn't. I am forced to agree, Russ. Chris sends me three Bible questions. I wondered if I could ask you a few Bible questions. I've been reading John, and I'm learning a lot. I'm impressed with how he lays out the divinity of Christ. At one point, Jesus even spells out something I've been wondering about my whole life. He says some, like the Jewish leaders, wouldn't see the truth because they were blinded by their sin. I've always thought logic could remove blinders, but Jesus seems to say sin can blind us so much we may not make much sense or see the truth right. Okay, very, very good question. So regarding blindness, Chris, yes, there is a logic to God. And by the way, everybody's blinded at one point of their life. It may have been the Jewish leaders there. There's church leaders today that can be blinded to things. But anyway, there is a logic to God. Obviously, of course, there's also a lot of mystery associated with the existence of a supreme being. But he did leave us a trail of breadcrumbs. Contrary to what we read on atheist websites, there are many logical, philosophical, coherent arguments for the existence of a supreme being, along with historical and archaeological confirmation of the Bible, and an abundance of modern-day miracles, attested to even by witnesses in the medical community. But God also has an enemy named Satan. Now, I've done whole shows on Satan, so I won't elaborate right now. It would take us on a tangent. Let's just say he is a spiritual enemy of God who lives in another dimension and has access to people's minds, apparently through some kind of telepathy. He likes to blind us from any logic that points to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul actually calls Satan the god of this world. Now, don't be confused by that. The term they're using for God in the original Greek language, theos, did not always mean deity in those days, but sometimes used as a ruler or a judge. The Bible, when it talks about Satan, does not describe him as a deity, but rather a creation of God who was put in a position of authority but fell into sin because of his own pride. Nevertheless, when human beings who were made custodians of the planet Earth turned away from God, God withdrew his restraining hand and the world is now run by Satan. The worst two things Satan can do to a human being is encourage them to sin. He can't make us sin, but he can certainly encourage us, tempt us, and then participate in our death and kill us. Well, Jesus conquered both, sin on the cross and death in his resurrection. Therefore, Satan loses any soul that Jesus saves. This is why he fights for our soul. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes of Satan, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Well, that blindness is in reality irrational. It creates its own pseudo-logic. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That doesn't mean we can't understand what the Bible says. That means we don't agree with what the Bible says. Before I was a Christian, I read parts of the New Testament. I said, this is stupid. Only a moron would believe this. But after being convicted of my own selfishness, which the Bible calls sin, and my own need for forgiveness, it suddenly made sense. Here's another question from Chris. In John 20, Jesus appears to his disciples, the resurrected Jesus, and tells them if they do not forgive someone, then that person will not be forgiven. What did Jesus mean by that? Now, he didn't mean conflicts they were having with people, but as authorities in the church, they were declaring who was or was not forgiven. You need to understand those are special times, Chris. When the apostles were still alive, the church had no Bible other than the outdated Old Testament. And so these apostles, in a sense, were like living, breathing New Testaments. Many people knew they had been with Jesus and were repeating his words as recollected by the Holy Spirit living inside of them. This same Spirit, through the apostles, did miracles for those who perhaps had not heard of Jesus. And since only God can do miracles, that authenticated their message, pointed them out as people that we should listen to. The words and teachings of the apostles were eventually written down. they became the New Testament. Today, our authority for proclaiming that Jesus forgives sin is that we have scripture written by the apostles telling us so. But before that happened, we had to get it from the apostles themselves. Now, here's another question from Chris, and this one I did mention at the top of the show. He says, we are supposed to pray in faith for miracles. Jesus even says anything we ask for in his name we'll receive if we ask by faith. Nevertheless, God doesn't guarantee to give us all we ask, and we don't always know his will. So why does it seem Jesus wants us to believe what we pray for will always come true when it may not? Thanks for listening to all my questions. Well, you're very welcome, Chris. Regarding prayer and faith, our faith is in what God promises, not what we decide God will do simply because it is something we want. Abraham is a good example. God promised that he would give Abraham a son, even though Abraham's wife Sarah was beyond the age of being able to bear children, even though it would take a miracle. Abraham was commended for his faith because he trusted God's promise, but the promise was God's idea. The way it did not go, Abraham was not sitting under a tree one day saying, even though Sarah is unable to have kids, I think I'll just name and claim a son anyway and trust God to give it to me. Jesus, in making his promise about answered prayer, is assuming we are praying either for things God specifically promised or desires God himself laid on our hearts. In John 15, we read from Jesus, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay, the key to that promise is that we are remaining. This remaining is made possible by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus previously promised in this same discourse would come upon us to help us abide. John 14, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And so the Holy Spirit helps us obey God's commands, and in this vein, our very desires are changed. Philippians 2 says, God is at work in you to work and to will for his good pleasure. God is even changing our will, our desires. Now, this next question is from Tim, and we will read this when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Falduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Music.
Today, I've been reading through some Bible questions. This next one is from Tim. Now, he's actually responding to a repeat broadcast from 2 weeks ago. And the theme of that program was Jews converting to Christianity, one of which is myself. So Tim writes, so I called into your show, not to go on the air live, but just to have you address a question and found out that you were doing a recorded show. Maybe someday when you talk about Jews and Christians, you could address the following question. How do you explain Jews like Dennis Prager, who are fully aware of the Jewish and Christian scriptures and are quite intelligent and very sincere, but still don't believe in the Christian claims? Can people be informed, intelligent, and sincere and still not believe? Or is there something wrong with Dennis? Hope you're having a great weekend, Tim. Well, thanks, Tim, and that's a very good question. Yes, a person can be generally informed and generally intelligent and still not accept Jesus. The bottom line is having an encounter with Christ and that illumination of the Holy Spirit that I talked about in the previous question. The bottom line is this encounter. Now, I have a great respect for Dennis Prager. He's a wonderful man and a great defender of Christianity, incidentally. And I've met him in person and was every bit as impressed. In person, he is the same man as on the radio. Nevertheless, all of us as human beings are sinful. All of us fall short of God's standards. As a practicing Jew, I know Prager would not deny this. Now, I do disagree with some things Prager has said about religion, and coincidentally, it may offer a partial explanation as to why he has not found Christ. Prager, logical as he usually is, has offered some rather illogical comments about apologetics. Apologetics is the science of defending the accuracy of the Bible. He says he doesn't like apologetics because it takes away from the beauty of faith. In saying as much, he is offering an explanation for faith contrary to the Bible, a definition for faith contrary to the Bible. Actually, faith in Jesus' day was not defined the way 21st century Americans use the word. In a paraphrased nutshell, the Bible says, since you know that God is real, it would be foolish not to place your faith in him. New Testament writers verified the existence of God before even mentioning faith. They were convinced that Jesus' resurrection from the dead was a fact. Most of them have witnessed it themselves. Even more importantly, the Holy Spirit continued to bear witness as he worked in the hearts of seeking people. 1 John 3:24 says, this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. In other words, a person could meet God. Literally, meet God. Faith for the biblical generation had to do with trusting this God whom they'd just met to work in their lives. The faith had to do with obeying him. I'll give you an illustration. Supposing I asked a friend to deposit a $1,000 check for me. Now, it may take faith to believe that my friend will head for the bank instead of heading for Las Vegas, but I will not doubt that my friend exists or question whether or not we really had a conversation. This is the same kind of faith children have in their parents. One may count on a parent for food, shelter, love, attention, advice, but children will have such dependence because they already know their parents. Likewise, since I am convinced of God's reality, I have faith enough to count on him and obey him. My Christian pilgrimage has forced me to accept a depressing reality. When it comes to religion, most people are not interested in truth. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. These words must mean something, and there is no law of literary criticism that can transpose them to read, I am whatever you want truth to be. I am that zone of comfort which exists in your imagination to get you through your version of life. Maybe instead the words mean just exactly what they say. Maybe it's time to admit that if Christianity isn't true, it is meaningless. We should stop evangelizing. We should stop going to church. We should stop doing whatever we associate with Christianity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. Now, related to this question, can Dennis Prager or any sincere Jew or any sincere person of any persuasion, unconvinced by Christian arguments, or perhaps living in a part of the world where they never heard of Christ, will that person still end up in heaven? This is a very important discussion in its own right. I'll begin this discussion, but we're down to our last couple of minutes. So obviously this is something we're going to have to get into much more detail next week. So here's the question. What about the people who never heard of Jesus? How is God going to judge them? Well, first, we must remember that geography does not erase sin. Here's a way to rephrase the question. Assuming that all people are sinful, assuming that God loves all people, but assuming that nobody deserves to go to heaven, yet assuming that God cares about people so much that he became a man, called himself Jesus, and died for everybody's sins on the cross and rose from the dead so that these people could be saved, what will happen to those who never heard of Jesus, even though Jesus still died for them? Do you see how we're asking a very different question? Because usually the way this question is asked is, well, what about the guy that led this really good life, but he just never heard of Jesus? Well, nobody lives that good of a life. We all have a conscience, but if we pay attention to our conscience, we realize we're not living according to it, at least not 100% of the time. Now, somebody could be non-religious or non-Christian and still do good things, but they do bad things too. We all do. You know, if I'm half clean and half dirty, I still need a shower. I don't just walk around telling people to look at the clean side. The Bible says all of us are sinful, and that's where we have to begin. Romans chapter 3, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. So with this in mind, we can examine a more genuine problem. Assuming that God, in his love and mercy, died for all sinners, how will he offer this undeserved grace to the individual who has not yet met a missionary? Well, part of this is answered under the category of seeking. The Bible says that a people can seek God and that those that seek God will find him. Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek with all your heart. Acts 17, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Luke chapter 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Hebrews 11, I love the way this is worded. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We will continue this discussion on how God will deal with people who never heard of Christ, or perhaps people like Dennis Prager or others who were exposed to Christianity but came to different conclusions. We'll do this next week.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.